Chapter 3, Across India. It was 4:30 when the Mongolia landed and its passengers went ashore. Fogg ordered Passepartout to be at the train station by 8 p.m. to catch the train to Calcutta. Then he went to the British consulate to get his passport stamped. Mr. Fix quickly went to the Bombay police headquarters. There he asked if his arrest warrant had arrived yet, but it hadn't arrived yet. Fix realized that he would just have to keep following Fogg and Passepartout until the warrant arrived. Passepartout decided to look around Bombay. He followed a parade that was marching through the streets. Soon after, the Frenchman entered a beautiful pagoda at the top of Malabar Hill. He didn't know Christians couldn't enter Indian temples, or that even Indians must remove their shoes before going inside. Suddenly, Passepartout was knocked to the floor. He found himself being beaten by three angry priests. They shouted and tore off his shoes, but Passepartout quickly jumped up and ran out of the pagoda as fast as he could. When Passepartout arrived at the train station, he was shoeless, hatless, and without the package of clothes Fogg had sent him to purchase. From a hidden corner, Mr. Fix listened to Passepartout tell Phileas Fogg what had happened at the pagoda. Now Fogg's servant had committed an offense on Indian land. He would be able to arrest them in Calcutta and hold them until the warrant arrived. At 8 a.m. on 22nd October, the train stopped 15 miles past Rathole. They were in the middle of a very small village.
"Passengers will get out here,"
announced the conductor. Passepartout rushed out to find out the reason and came back crying.
"Monsieur Fogg, the railway has ended."
They soon learned that the railway wasn't finished. There was a gap of 50 miles between where the train had stopped and Allahabad, where the line picked up again. By this time, the other passengers were beginning to leave for Allahabad by wagon, horse, and mule. Fogg also searched the village for transport, but found nothing. Passepartout had more luck, announcing,
"I think I found a way to get to Allahabad. There's an elephant that belongs to an Indian near here."
The elephant's name was Keone. Mr. Fogg decided he would rent it. Fogg made several generous offers, but the owner refused them all. Then he offered to buy the animal for £2,000. It was too much money for the man to refuse. Fogg then hired a local Parsi man to guide them and the elephant to Allahabad. This part of India was not under British control. They occasionally came across bands of ferocious Indians who shook their fists and shouted angrily. That night, they stayed in an old cabin on the edge of the jungle. At 6 the next morning, they resumed their journey. At 4 p.m., the elephant stopped moving. A noise from the jungle was getting closer. They could hear a chorus of human voices accompanied by brass instruments. Then the guide announced, "It's a procession of the Brahmins coming our way. We must not let them see us." They hid behind some trees and were very quiet. The voices came nearer. Fogg could see priests in long robes surrounded by men, women, and children who were singing a terrible and sad chant. Behind them was a statue of a woman with four arms and her tongue sticking out.
"Kali, the goddess of love and death," whispered the guide.
A group of holy men led a beautiful young woman who looked European. She staggered along behind them. She was covered in rich robes, golden jewelry, and gems. Then came another cart, on which was the dead body of a very old man. He was dressed like a king, or as they say in India, a Raja.
"This is a sati, a human sacrifice. She will be burned tomorrow with her dead husband, who was the Raja of Bundarkund," said the guide.
"But why doesn't she try to escape?" asked Fogg.
"She's been drugged. They will take her to the pagoda of Pillaji and sacrifice her at dawn."
"We will save her," said Fogg.
"Save the woman?"
cried Passepartout.
"But the wager?
The steamboat in Calcutta.
I have 12 hours to spare. We will be on the steamboat to Hong Kong.
Sir, you are a man of heart.
Admired Passepartout. They waited in the jungle until nighttime. The guide told them about the woman. Her name was Auda. She was an orphan who had received a European education. When she had grown up, the elderly Raja noticed her beauty. She was forced to marry him against her will. When dawn came, the Brahmins gathered around the pyre. Fogg and the guide walked up behind the group. Auda was placed on the top of the pyre with the old Raja's corpse. The Brahmins lit the wood at the bottom of the pyre, and it began to smoke. Then suddenly, the dead Raja stood up. The Brahmins threw themselves upon the ground. They were afraid to even look at their resurrected master. Then the Raja picked up the woman and ran down the smoking pyre through the crowd to Fogg. It wasn't the Raja, but rather Passepartout in the Raja's clothes. They traveled quickly and escaped. As they traveled toward Allahabad, the woman, Auda, was dazed from all the drugs. They reached the train station at Allahabad by 10 o'clock. Once on the train to Calcutta, Auda became conscious. With tears, she thanked the men for rescuing her. She claimed to have a wealthy uncle in Hong Kong. Fogg decided to take her there. The train reached Calcutta at 7 a.m. There were 5 hours until the steamboat, Rangoon, left for Hong Kong at noon. The 2 days gained between London and Bombay had been lost, but Phileas Fogg had no regrets. As Fogg leapt from the train, he was greeted by several policemen.
"Mr. Phileas Fogg, is this your servant?"
asked the policeman, pointing to Passepartout. "He is."
"Both of you please follow us."
The policemen took them before the judge. The judge told Fogg and Passepartout that they were being charged with the desecration of a native shrine. He also showed them Passepartout's shoes as proof. Fix had used Passepartout's misunderstanding at the pagoda in Bombay as a way to keep Fogg in Calcutta. Since he was Fogg's butler, Fogg was guilty too. The judge sentenced Passepartout to 15 days in prison and Fogg to a week in prison. Fix rubbed his hands with satisfaction, but Fogg was not worried. "I offer bail," he said to the judge.
"You have that right,"
said the judge. "I will pay it at once," said Fogg, pulling the cash from his bankroll.
"This money will be returned to you upon your release from prison,"
said the judge.
"At least give me back my shoes,"
cried Passepartout angrily. Mr. Fix followed them and observed them boarding the steamboat Rangoon.